In your Bibles, please, for our second reading, 1 Kings chapter 4. First Kings chapter 4, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? She said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What is then to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to the lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees until noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him, and he went out. And she called to her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive and go forward. Slack not thy driving for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, "It is well." And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me." Then she said, "Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?" Then he said to Gehazi, "Gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child." And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, "The child is not awaked." And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. Then he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite." So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, she said, "Take up thy son." Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. And Elisha came again to Gilgal. And there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, "Set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets." And one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass as they were eating of the pottage that they cried out and said, "O thou man of God, there is death in the pot." And they could not eat thereof. But he said, "Then bring meal." And he cast it into the pot, and he said, "Pour out for the people that they may eat." And there was no harm in the pot. And there came a man from Baal Shalisha, and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. And he said, "Give unto the people that they may eat." And his servitor said, "What, should I set this before 100 men? He said again, "Give the people that they may eat, for thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof." So he set it before them, and they did eat and left thereof, according to the word of the Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. I love these chapters talking about the life of Elisha. They're so very encouraging and exciting and so on. So the Lord continues to magnify Elisha's ministry here with that double portion of the grace, the unction of Elijah. So, first of all, there is a woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets. Okay, so this is a very straightforward narrative, but there are a couple of things that we need to talk about in it. The first is that this man, the sons of the prophets, he was a God-fearer. That's what the lady says. And Elisha does not contradict her. He feared God. Yet, notice, he was also in debt. Now, we've talked about debt before from this pulpit, from the scriptures. We know that debt is not a good thing, that the borrower is servant to the lender. Yet, debt can be used rightly, but it always acknowledges that there is some very difficult providence. This man is a God-fearer, yet he is in debt. Some believe this is Obadiah, right? Who that servant of Ahab who hid those sons of the prophets in the cave when Jezebel sought to slay them all. And that's why he ended up impoverished and needed to be in debt. Well, we can't be dogmatic on that. What we know from the passage is that he is a God-fearer, and yet he is in debt. It is possible, beloved, through some difficult providence, to need to go into debt. Yet we recognize that that is not for the things that are niceties in this world. This is to keep ourselves from starving, to keep ourselves from being homeless, or something other than that. And in that case, debt is a mercy, yet it is always a sign of something difficult, some dark providence, and a sign of God's hand upon us for one reason or another. All right, so this man fears God and is in debt, and now his wife's sons are in danger of being sold as slaves because she has nowhere to pay the debt, no way to do it. So she does the right thing. She comes to Elisha, and Elisha has a remedy for her, and it's a miraculous remedy. She goes and borrows all of the vessels that she can from her neighbor. She has a small pot of oil, probably for anointing herself. And she fills up every vessel she can find. When it says the oil stayed, that means that it never ran out. That when she was done pouring out into all of those vessels, there was yet oil in the original vessel that she used to pour out. It was obviously miraculous. And it was enough not only to get her out of debt, but to keep her and her children in their living. We're not told if it was for the rest of their days, but it was certainly long enough to get her in a position where they could survive until she may remarry, like Paul would counsel young widows to do in chapter 5 of 1 Timothy. All right, so then in the second story, verses 8 through 17, we have a great woman. What that means is a well-to-do woman. She has an estate, and she manages much on that estate, such that she asks her husband to build Elisha a little cottage to stay in along the wall when he comes to visit, when he passes by there. We note from this passage that Elisha was an active prophet. He was traveling often, and he came by often enough to this lady's house. They came and they would feed him. They would give him a meal. She says to her husband, let's do more than that. Let's offer him a place to stay as well. Let's build him a little cottage, and let's furnish it for him with a bed and a chair and a table and a candle, so that he can do all of his prophetic work. Well, it's very kind and very gracious. And notice also that she has a concern for the things of God, and that she has put feet to that concern. She wants to advance, to further the kingdom of God through the ministry of Elisha. Notice what she does. She doesn't become a prophetess. She doesn't go out of the order, right? She remains in the biblical order of things. She does what she can do, what God tells her that she ought to do, and that is to advance the ministry of the man of God. And so, you know, very often, well-meaning people do very bad things to advance the kingdom of God. She stays in her lanes, as it were. Right? And this is a very important principle. Okay, so she's generous and modest. She asks for no favors. She, although some would ask for something in return, not this woman. She is gracious. She is not needy. She has the means, and she will provide. So then, notice also of Elisha that he wants to do something for her, that the laborer, the gift that they have provided is worth something, she and her husband. And so he sends Gehazi to her and says, ask her what she needs. And she says, I dwell among my own people. Do you want me to talk to you to the king? Do you want me to talk to you to the captain of the guard? Do you want me to give you some favor in the land? And she said, I dwell among my people. And what that means, that's a very modest way of saying, I have everything I need. I don't need anything from you at all. So then Elisha communes with Gehazi, and he says, what do you think she needs? You've seen her, you know, you've visited her in her home. What do you think she needs? Well, she's old and she has no children. Her husband is old. Oh. Call her then. And so she comes to the door of the little cottage, and Elisha says, you're going to have a child in the season of life. And she says, oh, come on. Don't deceive Don't lie to me. No, no. Don't give me false hope. No, don't do that. Well, Elisha is not one to give false hope. And so she has a son. And so now we move to the next part of this story. When the child was grown, he goes out and he's working with his father in the field. And most divines that read this say that he suffered from probably sunstroke. He grabs his head, whether it was a stroke or a sunstroke or something. He grabs his head. Oh, my head, my head. And he faints dead away. And they take him to his mother right away. And she lays down on a bed and lays this young man across her lap, and it would be ministering to him, stroking his hair, feeding him water, doing what she can for him throughout the day, and then to no avail, he dies. He's truly dead. And so she takes him to the cottage where Elisha stays and lays him on that bed. And then something very interesting happens. She says to her husband, call one of the young men and have him saddle me an ass. I'm going to see the prophet now. What does the husband say to her? Very, very important. One of those throwaway details. It's not the new moon and it's not the Sabbath. Why would you be going to the prophet today? What's her habit? To go and hear the prophet preach on the Sabbath day and on the new moon. That's her habit. She's a godly woman. And so her husband says, it's not the new moon, it's not the Sabbath. Why are you going to see the prophet? And she says, well, that's really the Hebrew, meaning everything's fine. She doesn't want to worry her husband, and she has this understanding that the prophet can help. So she's a woman of great faith. Not just in providing for the prophet, but in sitting and hearing his teaching, and then in a time of distress, going to him for help. Well, she is urgent in her request. She says to her servant who's driving the mule, don't slow down unless I tell you, unless it becomes unbearable for me. And so away they go, and they beat a course across the field, and Elisha sees her afar off, and here comes the Shunammite. Gehazi, go find out what's wrong. Ask her, is all well with your husband? Is all well with the child? Is everything okay? Are you fine? And she says, she doesn't even acknowledge Gehazi, hardly. Everything's fine. Whoosh! Off to Elisha. Why? Because she sat at his feet. She's heard his teaching. She knows that he's the man of God. Remember, the passage is designed to focus us upon Elisha. And so Elisha says, the Lord hasn't told me what's wrong. And so here she comes at his feet, and she falls down at his feet, and she says, did I tell you, do not deceive me? Well, we don't know all of the conversation that passed, but it's pretty obvious that he got the message pretty quickly. And so he gives Gehazi his staff and sends him ahead. It's not out of any sort of superstition. It is that the case is urgent, and he would comfort the woman with that same sense of urgency. He himself not able to travel as quickly as Gehazi is. And so notice that Elisha is pastoral in his understanding here. And she says, I'm not going to leave your side. Well, they go together while Gehazi runs ahead under instruction, don't stop. Don't talk to any man. Don't greet any man. And so he goes and he lays his staff on the face of the child and speaks to him, but nothing at all. And so Gehazi meets them partway back as he's coming back to Elisha. And so they go in now in that pace that they were able to endure. And Elisha does some odd things. They seem odd to us. He lays down on the child and puts his hands on his hands, eyes on his eyes. In other words, they are face to face, and he felt the child warm. But did you notice the first thing that Elisha did? What was the first thing he did? He prayed unto the Lord. The healing is not from him, nor of the, quote, spirit of Elijah that's upon him. Gehazi's already been there as a commissioner and not able to do that. And so what happens? Elisha prays. He knows the source of life to go to. And so he prays. And then he uses these, what seems to us to be odd means. I think that if the Lord tarries another 500 years and people from that age look back at this age, they'll say, what odd means they used. I think that's true. And so he rises off the child after the flesh warms, and it says he paced. Well, it says that he paced, but you and I know what he was doing. He was continuing the prayer that he started when he first got there, and he's walking up and down, and he's pacing, and he's asking the Lord, and then he does the same thing again, and the child sneezes 7 times and gets up, and he's alive. All of these details about him laying on him, pacing and praying, and the child sneezing, they are quaint details of the prophetic record to show us that this is a true and real history, not a legend. It's true. It really happened, and the Lord would have us take encouragement from that. And then he presents the son to his mother, and what does he say to her? What does she say to him? Now I know that thou art a man of God. And she bowed and took up her son and went out. And then the final story is Elisha coming to Gilgal. There's death in the pot. No, we're not talking about, you know, some bad cooking. Right? No. Actually, we're talking about poison gourds. And there's a sensation that some of those gourds have. When you put it in your mouth and you begin to swallow, suddenly this numbness starts, you know. And something happened to where they knew that the gourds that they had cooked with were poisonous. And Elisha, through, again, another ordinary and odd means, throws a little grain in there. Now it's fine. And now everyone is nourished. Well, there are a couple of things about this chapter that I want to say in closing. The first is that we are reminded not only of Elisha and the great power of God that attended him, but we are reminded of the great prophet that would come after him, aren't we? He raised a widow's son, Jesus did. He raised a little girl. Elisha raised this lady's son from the dead. He fed the hungry. He provided for the widow. He paid our debts. He provides a seed, an offspring to perpetuate the holy faith. He answered the prayer of those who called upon him, rich and poor alike. The poor woman that was in debt and the rich woman that had everything called upon him. And he was conversant with all and gracious to all. Are we not reminded in the ministry of Elisha? The ministry of the great prophet, our Lord Jesus Christ, to come. And shall we not then do justice to this passage by using it as a lever by which we lift up our minds to Christ and think of all that he has done for us and continues to do? Thus ends the reading then of 2 Kings chapter 4.